With so much of the world in conflict, stories of peace are often forgotten. But over the past several months, a number of war-torn countries have embarked on the path of peace. In Sri Lanka, nearly 20 years of civil war came to an end last February with a ceasefire that's now held for over a year. The government is negotiating with the ethnic Tamils who had been fighting for a separate homeland, and hopes are high that a final peace settlement can be reached. Judith Smelzer has the story.
In a leafy suburb of Washington, D.C., Kanesa Tasan lives in a two-story house with his family. It's a stark contrast to the village he left behind 40 years ago in northern Sri Lanka.
My village no longer exists. It's part of the military base in Jaffna.
Kanesa Tasan is an ethnic Tamil. For decades, Tamils have charged the government, which is controlled by the majority ethnic Sinhalese, of discriminating against them. In the mid-80s, a Tamil separatist group called the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, LTTE, or Tamil Tigers for short, launched an armed struggle for a separate homeland. Roughly 64,000 people have been killed in the conflict. Kanesa Tasan says the war has had a personal impact on him, even from thousands of miles away.
Every Tamil family had paid a price, including mine, where a number of people had been killed. Even my very close relatives had been killed by the army, a couple of them.
The same sense of loss was growing on the government side, too. Nihal Gunawardena is the president of the Sri Lanka Association of Washington, D.C. He says popular support for the war was waning.
The people from the villages whose sons were joining the army, because the army was a great employer. You know, they could earn a pretty handsome salary by local standards. But when they started coming home in body bags, and many of them started deserting, and then some of them were maimed by the mines and other injuries, you know, it wasn't any longer that glamorous.
This sense of war weariness on both sides, along with the feeling that the war was simply not winnable, was part of what pushed the two sides to the table. There was also an economic motive. The economy was shrinking, and some estimates suggest that the government has spent as much as 5% of GDP on the war over the past few years. But international factors played a role as well. The backlash against terrorist groups after September 11th put extra pressure on the LTTE. Nihal Gunawardena explains.
You know, in the post-9/11 world, groups like the Tigers are an endangered species. So I believe their proscription, both in the United States, Canada, and then on in Australia and Britain, has hurt their ability to raise funds. And it has, frankly, scared some of their silent supporters into not risking their fortunes and their reputations in getting embroiled in something connected to terrorism.
And so a formal ceasefire was agreed last February, and in September, negotiations began on a final settlement. The Tamil Tigers surprised many by dropping their demand for a separate state in the first round of talks, and a few months later, both sides made the crucial decision to set up a federal structure with Tamil autonomy in the areas they control. Ernest Correa is a former Sri Lankan ambassador to the United States. He says while the theory is good, it will not be easy to implement.
For the Tigers, it is a tremendous jump that they have to make from being perceived as a terrorist organization outside and inside, though not by themselves, from waging, you know, conventional war, from undertaking suicide bombing, and from trying to achieve their goals purely by different kinds of military means, to getting into politics. Somebody has called it taking the tiger out of the terrorist jungle and putting him into the parliamentary box.
There are some positive signs. The Tamil Tigers have established some civil institutions in the areas they control, from traffic enforcement to tax collection. And life is already improving for Sri Lankans who've lived through nearly two decades of war. Kanesa Tasan recently made a trip to the capital, Colombo.
People are so much more relaxed. You don't see the military presence everywhere, and you don't have the sentry points all over Colombo. And for Tamils, the kind of continuous harassment that was involved in this process.
He says that in the former war zones in the north and east of the country, people are relieved just to live in peace. Nihal Gunawardena with the Sri Lanka Association of Washington agrees.
I think the course this is taking is somewhat irreversible. The people have come to see what peace is like. You know, there are no explosions, there are no strange killings going on. People have really come to appreciate normalcy.
Gunawardena says that normalcy has already led to a surge in business confidence within the country, and he hopes that if a final peace accord is reached, foreign investors and tourists can be drawn back into the country.
As the East and the North get back into the game, you know, you will see a lot of these things flowering. I mean, that means a lot of employment and a lot of choice. And the beaches in the East are very fabled beaches. And very few people ventured out there until now. But, you know, those things will be revived.
But peace is not a done deal yet. Former Sri Lankan ambassador to the U.S., Ernest Correa, says there's a good chance a final settlement will be reached, but only if both sides have patience.
A lot of things have happened very fast since the negotiations began. Like, I mean, nobody expected the LTTE to get up and say they'll accept a federal solution so soon, right? And the moment the LTTE said federal solution, then everybody wanted this federal constitution to be on the table next week, right?
And of course, the government will have to sell any deal it negotiates to the parliament. Kanesa Tasan says given the political climate between the two major Sinhalese parties, that won't be easy.
Unless the two groups, the two Sinhalese parties can get together, there's no way that any negotiated agreement can clear the parliamentary hurdle, the two-thirds majority in parliament that would be needed.
But generally, Sri Lankans are cautiously optimistic, feeling that their country is closer to a lasting peace than it's ever been before. For Common Ground, I'm Judith Smelser.